When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big Drive Energy winners circle Monday. These two right here, Scotty Scheffler staring right at Nelly Korda, are on top of the world, figuratively and literally, and cannot be stopped. We're going to talk about them and their back to losing to Steven Yeager to back to back to back wins at some point. We're also going to talk about Billy Horschel. Back in the winner's circle.
Billy's back.
Oppo Taco Field event. We'll take it. And then the biggest winner of the weekend didn't actually win his tournament, but this kid, Miles Russell, I mean.
Doesn't even have his driver's license yet.
He makes Charlie Woods look like he plays PGA 2K.
Yeah.
To be good at golf.
Charlie Woods wishes Miles Russell's dad was his dad.
Wow, that's a great one. All right, let's tee it up.
Hello, friends. Welcome to this tradition unlike any.
Did somebody scream mashed potatoes?
That was mashed.
All right, where do you want to start? Do we want to start with Nelly? Do we want to start with Scotty?
I want to start with Zach Wilson.
I want to start with Zach Wilson? Okay.
I mean, it just dropped like an hour ago, but...
Cougar Hunter.
Zach Wilson's a Denver Bronco.
Kind of crazy. Kind of a crazy day for the Denver Broncos in general.
Do you think they just realized they weren't going to be able to move up in the first round, so they...
Well, yeah, they didn't want to mortgage their entire future to move up to get a maybe. Like, just like Zach Wilson's a big, fat maybe.
Do you know what else a big, fat maybe is? A text we got from a unanimous source saying that TB12 might be coming to Denver.
RK called that, like, 3-4 months ago.
Well,
that's what he, I mean, it's not definitely not a sure thing, but like RK said that like a while ago, that was just like the wild hair. And then
I think our source is better though.
Well, yeah, but we really shouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, no, I don't have any specific sources. I just.
Yeah. Yaya also tweeted it today. So
no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mind readers
would be insane.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't. Want it to happen?
Do you know how fast I would buy a Tom Brady jersey?
It would be pretty electric.
It would be faster than the Russell Wilson. I bought the Russell Wilson jersey within 10 or 15 minutes. TB12, it would be 5 minutes or less.
It would be the jersey, but I really don't want to...
Ruin his legacy?
Well, no, I don't know. I don't want to be pulled back into the thinking we can compete for Super Bowls hole. Finally dug myself out of that the last 2 years and realized,
you don't want to get in Tom Brady's hole?
Dug myself out of it. Russell Wilson brought me back into the hole. Then his play slowly
Russell
drug
Wilson's
me.
Hole was not good.
It was a...
That was a deep hole.
Yeah, it was, super deep, dark, scary hole. But I don't want to be back there. I want to slowly dig back into the Super Bowl hole in like the next 4 years, build up the team, feel good about us.
What?
Trench.
Hole's funny, though.
It is funny.
I am all in on if Tom Brady comes.
Yeah.
I will also.
If Tom Brady comes, so will I.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say you thought the hole was bad. But yeah, I just wanted to start there. Now our own Zach Stevens, Zach Wilson, handshake. We'll get to know each other pretty well.
Yeah. Zach v. Zach.
Yeah.
The one Zach is at least consistent, and that's our guy.
Yeah, he brings the heat all the time.
But the other Zach...
off the field, he brings the heat, too.
Yeah, off the field, they're both, like, the same person, maybe?
No.
Just kidding.
I was going to say.
Love you, Zach Stevens. All right, let's talk about our weekend, though, or the past week. Anything exciting happening for you?
The Nuggets, the Avs.
That was not exciting, but...
Well, the Nuggets were exciting.
Yeah, the Nuggets, big... dominant win.
Did you have something in mind? It felt like when you said that to me, like no, you were just thinking like, I had something exciting.
Like, what are you doing?
Just been watching sports. The weather's getting nicer here. What are you trying to insinuate?
I'm not insinuating anything.
Oh, okay.
This is a podcast. You're
just asking.
I'm literally just asking.
You have a look on your face like you know what I did and you are like looking for me to fucking... Yeah, no, I wasn't doing any partying this weekend.
No, that's the birthday
happening. I know that. We're arguing. Oh, okay.
You literally forgot in five minutes.
No, I'm just so unfamiliar with what an argument looks like with you. It feels like a normal conversation. Like that is just our everyday speak. Okay, there we go. We're arguing. No, I mean, I just bartended a little bit. Nuggets played well. Avs played well, other than that fucking absolute pigeon between the pipes. Hopefully he will not see the ice again. But other than that, just working, just grinding, enjoying life. So like I said, the weather here is improving. It's almost like next week for our golf tournament, shout out City Park. It's supposed to be, or is that 2 weeks from now?
It's two Fridays from now.
Two Fridays. Okay, so never mind. But the weather could be shit by then.
Don't
but it's supposed
that.
To be in the 80s.
Because that next stresses week. Me out, just thinking about that.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than a...
But next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all 75 and sunny or higher. So okay. It's trending in the right direction. Because there would be nothing worse than... Shout out to all those that signed up for the Scramble de Mayo City Park, May 3rd. But... nothing stresses me out more than the idea that a golf tournament will get canceled.
Oh, 100%.
Especially in this instance because we have no way to reschedule it. There's no way to change the date. There's no way to get another tournament at City Park this year. So
not a dime back.
I'm scared. I'm terrified, but we're going to put it in Mother Nature's hands.
Fair enough. I did discover that Chick-fil-A has a really good Cobb salad. I go through phases where I like want to eat certain things for lunch like every day. I was on a Cafe Rio kick there for a hot minute, but that just totally wrecks my stomach. But the Chick-fil-A Cobb salad is off the hook. Have you ever had one, Marissa?
I have. It's very good.
Yeah.
Dude, I will say.
A little roasted corn.
Speaking of a salad from a non-traditional salad place, this lady brought a salad from Subway in the other day, and it was, I didn't taste it, obviously, but just the look of it. It looked like they just took a bunch of those little circular pieces of lettuce,
yeah.
Threw it in a bowl. And put like
it's
two
just a deconstructed fucking sandwich, well, basically.
First but it was of all, so sad looking.
They used to have like a really good salad. It like used to be like this big old bowl.
Yeah, no, I ordered it back in high school, like 10, 12 yeah. years ago.
Well, this time she gave me one that was like this big. And then I asked for cucumbers. She gave me two.
Oh, my God.
And then I asked for cheese and she just took the slabs of cheese and threw it in there.
That is legitimately a deconstructed sandwich.
Yeah, and I didn't get lettuce because I don't like lettuce, but I got spinach.
Oh, I was going to say, how do you have a salad without lettuce? But that yeah, checks out.
But I got it the way that Spencer likes it, which is soggy and gross and wimpy.
I don't think soggy that Subway lettuce. Knows what fresh spinach or lettuce looks like. Like they just, when they receive it, it's soggy.
Yeah.
It's always wet. Well, it's never dry.
Literally, it looked like it was sad. It didn't taste good either.
No, it just looked so sad. Like, food can taste good sometimes when it looks sad, but you're already going into it with the idea that it's not going to taste good, and then it most likely won't if it looks like that.
Salad's already eh. And then, like, you go and get a salad, it's worse.
Totally. Like, there's levels to salads. But also, why the fuck are we talking about salad?
Because you brought it up.
Oh. There we go. So you, there you have it.
You said Chick-fil-A has a really good salad.
They do have a good salad. What's going on with your week there, Big Chief?
Watch some golf. A lot of golf to watch this past weekend. So I was kind of diving into that. Playoff sports. Great. Kind of a good weekend for playoff sports. The first rounds of each series are kind of lame.
Do you know what
second
I just...
Second round is my favorite.
Sorry to cut you off, but I was thinking about this like in the shower. Like this is just my... These are just thoughts that I have. I don't think a single underdog won between the NHL and NBA playoffs. Game one. They've only played game one.
Not only that, but I don't think a single road team won.
Okay, so every...
Kind of...
Favorites one,
basically
at home,
the same
yes,
thing. But correct. Yeah, there's... I don't think we had a single upset in all of the NHL games that have started. There's still teams to play their first games tonight, Monday, but there hasn't been one upset yet.
Yeah.
So nothing scary on any of the fronts.
I wish the Pelicans would have beat the Thunder.
That was their late game decision making made me sick. It frustrated me so much I had to tweet about it. Got no likes, but that's okay.
I was actually thinking of tweets that got no love. We'll have to do that segment. We're almost to the end of the month, so maybe we do it Wednesday.
That's crazy.
Or I know time is just flying by. But talking about Scottie Scheffler, I started to dive. Let's just hop into Scottie. Just a crazy dominant win again. I think he shot 2 under on Thursday and then proceeds to just blitzkrieg everybody, just completely run over the field. So I looked at his season. And I actually do need to restitch. Remember the TikTok comment that I replied to, that dude saying Scottie isn't a superstar? Should I revisit that and just repost another one and be like,
just repost for every single time he wins? Just get tired of doing it every week.
Yeah, just be like, oh, God, I can't keep doing this shit. I don't have time for this.
But wasn't his point that we were misinterpreting Scottie's not a superstar? And
no.
That's what he was saying?
No, he was saying that Scottie hasn't won in a year and he's not a superstar.
Oh, that comment. Yep.
Yes. Yep. Scottie, in his 9 events he's played this year, he has 8 top 10s. He has 5 top 3s. So I looked back at some of Tiger's greatest seasons. Scottie's actually on pace right now to consistently finish in a higher spot. Like, if you were to average place him in every tournament, Scottie's season this year is on track to be like better than any of Tiger Woods' seasons.
Well, let's get into that in a sec. We'll throw some more Scottie stats at you, but I do want to talk about the Tiger Woods Scottie Scheffler comparison because okay. I don't think it's.
So you moved on from Nicole Jokic?
No, I'm just saying comparing the same player from the same sport to get the relative idea of where Scottie Scheffler is actually at. But Scottie Scheffler has twice as many wins this year as he does rounds at even par or higher.
Wow.
And the crazy thing about that is he has 0 rounds over par. He has 2 even par rounds.
That's disgusting. When you go out on the PGA Tour on some of the toughest golf courses, I mean, they're not that tough, but they're tough. Let's put it that way. If you're making it relative to like the everyday course that you play, what the average rating for a golf course on the PGA Tour, I think, is between 74 and 76. So, oh, dude, I wonder. I haven't seen anybody calculate Scottie's handicap this year.
Oh, we need that.
But
we need the
somebody needs handicap to calculator. Post his handicap because I bet it would be somewhere in the +8 to +10 range. What is it? Can you find his scoring average for us?
I can. I do know that in the last 4 events or 5 events, they did like a cumulative average of all the players that like the top 10 players in average in each tournament. And they were all cumulatively average of one under par in all the events. So somebody playing in the Masters and then somebody playing in
I'm picking
RBC,
up you're putting down.
Scottie Scheffler, 66 under par.
Holy shit.
I mean, the run that this guy's on, and the other crazy thing about like the Masters goes without saying, the Players goes without saying, he's just winning the Arnold Palmer. He's winning tough tournaments, but like, this is where the he's not playing the best players argument goes to die. He didn't win the Corrales Invitational Punta Cana this week like Billy Horschel. He won a signature event with
the
guys
best
like
69 players in the world.
Yeah, with Sahith Theegala, Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas, JT Poston, Colin Morikawa, Ludwig Gobert, all finishing in the top 10. So just as good as it gets in the world.
Only one of those guys you just named has a win so far this year.
Wind?
Huh? Win. Windham hasn't won this year.
Or yeah, has he won the little 54-hole action.
Oh, pebble. Shit. Yeah, that doesn't even count. That's not a fucking win. But two of those guys.
54 holes isn't a tournament?
No, not for world. They should have taken their world ranking points. I said it that week. But no, it is. I don't really know what words to use because this is like a run unlike anything we've seen. You know, we were very small children when Tiger went on his crazy run. We're early into golf. I was probably playing in the sandbox at that point, eating dirt and shit. But I honestly, the lack of parity, like I hate to double down, but I don't think it's good for golf. Like, do you feel like golf is better this week for Scotty having won?
I feel like he's getting to a point now after winning the Masters, it was like, okay, this guy clears, like the kids say.
What does that even mean? Like, this guy passes the...
This guy's like, he's better than everyone else.
Yeah, he clears
everyone else.
Okay.
But I do think...
No cap.
It's good for golf because I was listening to a radio station on my way in here. One of the guys kind of likes golf. The other two don't really care for it. And they're talking about Scottie Scheffler. I think dominance in any sport is good for it.
It commands attention.
Yes, exactly. And so now, one of the other interesting things about Scottie Scheffler is so he has 10 career PGA Tour wins all since 2021. So he's won 10 times in the last three seasons, basically.
Is that on the LPGA Tour? Is it 10 wins that gets you an auto bid to the Hall of Fame?
20.
Is it 20? Okay. Mm-hmm. He's halfway there.
He is going to be in the Golf Hall of Fame.
Well, duh, yeah.
With winning two Masters puts him in elite company, and then you put everything else all around it. He's won the Arnold Palmer twice. I don't know why that's so hard to say. He's won the Waste Management Phoenix Open twice. But so this is kind of my point. He's kind of a repeat offender, if you will. And he has not won a golf tournament as dominant as he's been the last 3 years past April.
No
not
shit.
One single golf tournament. So
is this his last week to win on tour and then he falls off? Or do you, because I saw a sports book that was offering Scottie Scheffler to win the Grand Slam this year. So all four majors at plus 6,000.
That if you take that, you're the dumbest person in the entire world. I'm
I
sorry.
Mean, yeah, it is recency bias for sure. But like Dave Portnoy took Scottie to win this week, made like 1.2 million on him.
I think he's rode him like three straight times.
This is his second week riding him at the Masters, then the RBC. But that dude has made like $2.5 million off Scottie Scheffler. And see, we couldn't find the clip. We searched all morning.
We searched Marissa, long and wide.
Do you recall Spencer saying, and it was kind of just in passing, it was so quick, but Spencer was like, after the Masters last week, Spencer said, no way he wins the RBC this week. Did you remember him saying that? Because I clearly remember him saying it. We couldn't find it for fucking anything.
On the show?
Yes. I'm starting to almost think it wasn't on the show. Because
I don't remember.
Because I wanted to make that, you know, that like those videos where somebody like the clown music starts like to turn up and the clown face like goes over. I wanted to do that to Spencer with him saying that Scottie was not winning this week. But also the other thing that's just crazy is Scottie is the machine in the way of he goes and wins a Masters. Usually people have a massive fall off. Players fall off, not fall off, but they take a few weeks. They do a media run. You know, they get all their sponsors. They do commercials, this and that. They go on the Today Show. He just shows up Hilton Head and fucking wins again. Like nothing happened. And what's the story with his wife at this point? Like,
I think it's kind of comical that wasn't a story this week, but it was a story all last week. I mean, she's a week closer. Clearly she's just getting closer, getting more dilated, whatever they call it.
Here's the thing. Maybe take a week off. Maybe Scottie just doesn't play. Well, that is always an option.
Yeah. I do think that I don't know what the penalty is. I'm sure if it's monetary, it obviously doesn't matter to him. But
I think in signature events,
they're supposed to play in these signature events so that they get the leaderboards that we got this weekend. The other crazy part about what Scheffler did this week winning again was the fact that he went home, saw him at the Inward Tavern, talked about that after his Masters win.
Couple of Coors Lights.
Got to Hilton Head, South Carolina Tuesday night, played 9 holes Wednesday, never saw the back nine, said, I'll see it tomorrow when I play it on Thursday, and boat races the field.
Yeah.
The guy's absurd. He is, I'm excited to see if we have him at some point this year. Now, like I said, the history's not on his side personally with having not having won past April, but it'll be exciting to see these next couple of weeks on Bet365 what the odds look like. And if he gets to a point where he's a favorite, like a minus 110 to win a tournament, we do all of our golf betting through Bet365. It is the by far the best app to bet golf with. Use that code ALLCITY in all caps when you sign up and get the option of betting $5 and getting $150 in bonus bets. Bonus bets are super fun to use for golf because you can take long shots. I mean, we've talked about it on this pod all year. We, up until this run from Scotty, we had long shot after long shot. So do some research, listen to us or don't. Find some darts. We hit Akshay Bhatia at 40-1. So that can really boost your account for the entire year. Or you can bet a first bet safety net of $1,000 and get that back. Now, maybe you're getting crazy and you want to bet Scotty Scheffler at $1,000 to win or top five. If you hit that, boom, money goes into your account. You don't, you get a rebound, get to try again with that same size bet from Bet365. Once again, each way bets, you place how much you want, they'll double it for you, put some money on a player winning the tournament and a player placing in the tournament. We had a couple of placers this week. Shout out to us, each one. Brian Harman, I got extremely lucky. He was 5-under on Sunday, shot 7-under. T12, right where we want it. It didn't get the full payout, but at least got that bet and the winning bet back on Brian Harman. And then Mitchell Ludwig Aubert, smaller odds, but that bet still tripled based on him finishing T10. Actually, a lot scarier than it needed to be, but the Monday finish. Let's talk about that just real quick, because on a Monday finish, actually, you need to chill and the PGA Tour needs to chill, and they should have had some Coors Light Saturday night thinking about what the tee times should have been before they came to this disaster of a Monday finish. I've never seen a course and a company and a organization, what's the word I'm looking for, a business, a whatever, that's so into the weather. Golf is the ultimate weather sport. When you play golf, you're checking the weather all the time. When you're on the PGA Tour, they're checking the weather all the time. They need to have a Coors Light next time they check the weather, get their mind straight, chill for a moment, because they botched this. Coors Light is the best beer on the course all the time. I'm addicted to the twist off cans because I never know whether it's a dog or a child that's going to knock my can off of my table.
Addicted so, responsibly.
Yeah, responsibly addicted to Coors Light, 100%. Coors Light is the best beer for the golf course too, because you can drink 6 or 7 of them in a round. You're getting a little buzz, but you're also not feeling overly, you know, you get the beer sleepies. You don't get too tired. You don't get too drunk.
You and I it's perfect. We get a 6-pack per 9.
Yep.
Just 3 each.
3 each, 1 every 3 holes.
Works out.
I'm really excited to try Coors Light on our upcoming, we have a bachelor party this summer. Going to play a couple rounds of golf. And I just bought the Shot Fun, which is a shotgun that allows you to shotgun a beer super easily. So we'll see how that works, but I'm super excited to Shot Fun a shitload of Coors Lights. When you need a second to chill, get Coors Light, get it delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to coorslight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right. Hidden in the middle of that Coors ad, we talked a little bit about the Monday finish.
Yes.
Get your shit together, PGA Tour. What are you doing?
Well, and the funny part was, is so a few PGA Tour players, at least I saw Dylan Wu, and I've got his tweets right here. He's a great follow. He's pretty candid. There's a few guys that are starting to get a little bit more, you know, open about their displeasure with the PGA Tour's moves. And, you know, it kind of sucks. Like, a lot of people only use social media to complain. So that's not always fun. Those people kind of suck. Like, if everything goes well, you don't hear from them. But if shit hits the fan, that's when they're openly, you know, whining and complaining about it. But Dylan Wu said that they sent out a forecast Saturday night that clearly had rain in the Sunday afternoon into evening forecast at Hilton Head. They felt no need to change the tee times. And on top of it, they only had 69 players in the field. So let's do some quick math. You go out, just call it threesomes. They could have done threesomes. So that's 23 groups. They could have done that in, they could have gotten everybody out 10 minute blocks in about 3.5 hours, almost 4 hours. So you start guys from 8 to 11:30. They finish up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. They could have finished at that point. But so Dylan Wu's, I'll read a few of his tweets, because they tweeted that play had been suspended due to darkness. 69, this is his tweet, 69 players in a signature event and they can't finish today because they didn't want to start times earlier. That's an absolute joke. Everyone who finished before the horn got the break of the tournament. Pure carnage for all of the guys resuming. SMH, facepalm emoji. And then one guy replies, these guys are great too. Like, thank you, Captain Obvious. And he goes, by carnage, you mean another night in a luxury hotel. Everyone will manage. Yes, your tour is run by morons, but you got bigger problems than some super elite golfers spending an extra 15 hours at Hilton Head. It's like, thank you for pointing out the privilege of being an elite golfer. And he goes, if Dylan replied, if you knew anything about golf, that's like when, you know, if you're the guy that he replies to and you read that first line, you just, it's over for you, buddy. Pack it up. If you knew anything about golf, you'd realize everybody was making bogeys after coming out and the guys in the clubhouse kept climbing the leaderboard. Check the scores of everyone that had to play after the delay. Everyone wants to go home after a week of work. Clown face emoji. So Dylan Wu was clearly not impressed along with the rest of the PGA Tour, but what do they, do they need to hire a massive multi-billion dollar consulting firm to come in and fix the easiest fucking issues in the entire world? Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry to cut you off, but like similar to like the, like what we were talking about it this morning, because the Broncos released their new jersey and, you know, we'll save our opinions on those. They're not terrible, but whatever. But like, how can these, like an NFL franchise similar to the PGA Tour, how can these multi-billion dollar corporations just have such massive fuck-ups that are so simple? And is it like, is everybody too afraid to stand up and say something? Like, what is going on behind the scenes where this makes sense to everybody? Or are they just that dumb?
I think in this instance, like, I'll take the other side just because that's what I like to do against you. And I'm not actually going to argue for the other side. I don't feel this way. But I think what they're really trying to keep peace with is their TV provider and their chain, you know, whatever that's called, the fucking...
Their network deals.
Network deals, yeah. Because they want to have, which honestly is a bigger problem in general. We've talked about it a little bit as far as the streaming goes. And I saw a tweet yesterday that was like, I've watched 36 holes of golf today between the, this is Sunday. So between the PGA Tour, somebody was watching a little bit of Corn Ferry Tour, LPGA, and the other opposite field event. And they're like, I've watched Golf Channel, watched Paramount Plus, I've watched ESPN Plus, I've watched NBC, and I've watched CBS.
Yeah.
And that's really what the world that it's in right now. And it just is so different of a sport, because can you imagine like turning on a playoff football game and it doesn't, it's only televised one way until like the second quarter, first quarter live from, you know, Paramount Plus, and then who knows what kind of coverage you're getting, because that's the thing too, is yes, you can watch the PGA Tour on Thursday, Friday, early in the morning, ESPN Plus, it is the best investment. Like, I love, if I'm home on a Thursday or Friday morning or just even afternoon, I love flipping on ESPN Plus because you can sometimes see your groups. That's another whole story, is the featured groups. But the idea that we can't get more coverage of golf is always going to be an issue. And I think they're truly think they're working on that. But I think the TV partner thing is what really forces their hand in terms of making the tee times later. But the thing that I don't understand in general, and I know that you want to have the leaders go off last, I feel like PGA Tour tee times are too late in general.
100%.
Like, how many times have we seen a leader that tees off at like 3:15 Eastern for in the afternoon? I can't, I've done, you know, we've done tee times, we've done the whole golf pro thing. We get how tournaments work, but there's got to be a better time, or starting, you know, half of the field on a Sunday off the back nine. I don't know what it is. So I'm not going to act like I know the answer. I don't get paid to know the answer, but the fact that a lot of TV coverage starts at like 3 PM for a golf tournament when half the guys are already finished, even the Masters, the biggest tournament in the world. That was the case. But when I see a tee time on a Sunday and I'm like, oh, they start at 2:30 my time, or, you know, it's like usually like 12:30 or 1 mountain time. I'm like, cool, we got half a day. And yeah. And I can't imagine what those guys have to go through waiting till the afternoon to play. Conditions are always usually worse in the afternoon than they are in the morning.
Yeah.
The golf course has been, I know these are PGA Tour players, so they take better care of it than your average amateur. But the conditions of the course aren't great. The conditions of the weather aren't great. So I think something needs to be done in general in terms of moving up tee times. Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, this morning, they started them at 8 a.m. Eastern. Great. Do that on Sunday. Start the guys that made the cut that have no chance of winning. Let them get out of there by noon, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Start the winners at 11:30, 12 o'clock local time.
It's not hard.
And have them finish at 4 or 5. You got 4 playoff holes. You don't have to fight darkness. How many tournaments have they been fighting darkness?
Yeah.
It's just a crazy problem for such a massive, expensive organization.
Yeah. I mean, even going back to the Masters last week, I was in New Jersey. There wasn't live cable coverage until 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, that's where when we were in Hilton Head.
That is same scenario. Fucking bananas. You have golf starting at 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern, and you don't have live TV coverage of it. Like, how does I know CBS, whatever, they've got network shit that they need to, their kiddie shows and whatever else they play in the morning. But you don't play a major championship on national television until 3 p.m.? Yeah, it's like the Super Bowl starting at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They're like, oh, now we just have TV coverage of it. So yeah, it's just bananas. But let's move on. We have a little bit of a shortened version today. So let's move on to Nelly Korda.
Yeah. Let's talk about her dominance, because right now these two are on the top of the world. Marissa, can we show clip letter A? I think this is one of the coolest.
That is not Nelly Korda.
Mr. Horschel. I think this is one of the coolest things. Women do it, I think, in either multiple events, for sure.
It used to be the A&A Inspiration, I think, out in Palm Desert. But maybe this is the same. I think this is the same major, just at a different place. But go ahead and roll it.
So after the win of the Chevron, her and her whole team.
Her caddy. Run out and jump. Is that her sister?
No, maybe.
Brother-in-law? Oh, is that? That's not.
Yeah. A little cannonball action.
That's awesome.
So I think this is one of the coolest traditions in all of sports.
How clean is that water, though?
Well, I don't think they're worried about that.
Do you think they considered that?
No, because she just won $1.2 million. Her second ever major.
Let's talk about that. The purse was huge, and that's awesome. She's now made as much, basically, this last week as she had in her previous 4 wins. So now she's probably up to over $2.5 million in earnings on the year. Let's see where that would put her on the PGA Tour money list.
Well, last time we were checked in with her, she was right around, 52nd on the PGA Tour money list this year. This is Nelly Korda right now. Not one, not two, not three, not four, five in a row.
She was actually LeBron James, what he wanted to do.
Yeah, she was the Heatles. The Heatles walked so Nelly Korda could run.
Right. Okay, well, this money list is asinine already, because Scottie Scheffler's almost doubled up. When Wyndham Clark is second at $7.9 million. Scottie Scheffler's at $15.1 million. But let's see. So say she's at 2.5 this year. That would put her in the top 20 on the PGA Tour money list. Above Colin Morikawa, Luke List, Tom Hoagie, Shane Lowry, the list goes on. Holy shit, what a year she is having. And I guess you could call her a veteran at this point, but it also just shows you that her being, you know, 26, whatever, 25, she's still been out on tour for 6-7 years, and we've never seen this kind of form from her. So just maturing and getting used to a schedule, getting, you know, familiar with these courses, this is truly like Nelly's ceiling. Like, and it's the best golf in the women's game. So obviously it's a ceiling. But she is just so freaking, she's just automatic. Like her rhythm, everything, her putting is so good. Everything she does is just so, and she's so calm about it too, which is, I would say her and Scottie Scheffler are pretty similar in that way. Like you don't really see her ever get worked up. Whoa, you good over there? But just what a run, man. Like golf is truly two of the most dominant players that we've seen, two of the most dominant runs we've seen.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Have happened right before our eyes in the last like 2-3 months.
Yeah, and it's just the fact that both of them are doing it at the same time makes it way cooler, because it's like a, I think I saw a tweet that was like, when are we getting the Nelly Korda versus Scottie Scheffler 1v1 under the light, like, or under the lights or
spotlight?
They could basically make it like kind of like that, the last match, but just those two versus each other would do numbies.
I saw a tweet. Somebody was definitely looking for, he was engagement farming for sure. It was some like low level reporter. So similar to us, except for probably higher than us, cause we're even lower than that. But he tweeted some about Scottie Scheffler's run and then goes, it's hard to imagine he's the second best golfer in the world right now. And all the replies were just like, stop this. Why are you doing this? And then somebody was like, and this is the most logical thing to say, but people on the internet are not logical at all. It's like, why can't you just let Nelly enjoy the run she's on and let Scottie enjoy? It's like comparing, this is an extreme comp, but Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant or LeBron James. It's like different games, different eras, same era, but different games. Bless you. Why not just let them enjoy the runs that they're on instead of comparing Nelly to Scottie? Like it's an argument worth having, but it's not comparable. Like, and maybe like just for fun, maybe they're such good sports that they would go out and play on the same course. Like realistically, you put Nelly at 6,300 to 6,500 yards, you put Scottie at 7,300 to 7,500, probably pretty close. I still think Scottie has the edge there just because he is on such a tear right now. Like, I mean, and so is Nelly. It really is hard to say. I can't even give a good like assessment of it, because I think at the end of the day, it would probably come down to like, if it was just an 18 hole match, it would probably come down pretty close to the last few holes.
Yeah, they're just both at the top of their game right now. And Nelly has won a bunch of, like, don't get me wrong, Scottie. So another little thing about Scottie is all the tournaments he's won have been like very south. And this is like big brain conspiracy theory ideas, but region. So they're earlier in the year and south, like Arizona, the player at Florida, now South Carolina, but he hasn't like conquered the, you know, the US Open courses up in New York and those kind of things. But Nelly Korda's won all over the country now. She, her last one in
she
Texas.
She played on all grasses.
She is, the run she's on has only been done twice in the history of the LPGA Tour. There was two players to win five straight times.
If I had to guess, I'd say Annika Sorenstam and Lorena Ochoa.
Ooh, okay. Close. Annika Sorenstam is one of the two.
Give me a hint on the other one.
You were close on the origin of Lorena Ochoa.
Oh.
This is a little like
older.
Yeah.
Nancy Lopez.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow, dude. Look at you go. Nancy Lopez.
I know them all.
She joins Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam as the only other player since 1978 to win five consecutive titles. And she gets to top that next week as she's scheduled to play in the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by Plast Pro.
What a mouthful. What was that sponsor again?
Plast Pro.
I have no idea what
that is. I would guess it's some plastic scenario.
Okay. It's in LA, though?
LA Championship, yep.
So she'll have won Florida, Texas, if she goes to LA. Did she win in Florida multiple times?
She won in Florida twice. She won in Vegas.
Oh, damn.
Was the match play win.
Oh, yeah.
And then Texas was where she won.
So she's just covering all the bases. And Arizona.
Yep.
Arizona, Texas, Vegas, Florida twice. Now she's going to hit California.
Yeah. She needs to take
that shit international.
Well, and like we talked about with men's golf is always going to have the quote unquote shine, PGA Tour shine. But Nelly doing this. And I don't mean to say this the wrong way. Let me try to not say this the wrong way.
Here comes the wrong way.
No. let me not say this the wrong way. But like Nelly Korda being an American, I think allows other, like all of Americans talking about men's golf to put the same shine on the women's game. Because don't get me wrong, like whoever beats Nelly, great. But a lot of these ladies are, you know,
It's a rising tide lifts all ships scenario.
Correct. And like a lot of these ladies that have win on the PGA Tour each week, everybody's like, oh, well, another kind of random winner or this or that. Like where when somebody's doing something like this now, I bet you people are tuned in at least on a Saturday or Sunday and not necessarily watching it if they're watching something else or PGA Tour is on, like if they're a golf fan. But they're keeping their eyes to the ground of like, okay, now can Nelly win six in a row?
Eyes to the ground.
Eyes to the fucking ground.
Eyes to the LPGA app. Here's a good comparison. You wanted to compare Scottie Scheffler and Nicole Jokic. Can you compare Caitlin Clark to Nelly Korda?
I think it's close. It's getting close.
I was going to say, if Nelly stays on this run, everybody's going to have to be tuning in.
Yeah. Theoretically, the achievements that they're at right now, I think Nelly's got Caitlin, but...
Talking about from a needle moving standpoint.
From a needle moving standpoint, Caitlin's got Nelly and will.
But I think
maybe like another win, maybe two more wins.
If she doesn't lose the rest of the season,
well, yes, that would move the needle because it would be like every tournament, you'd be like, all right, is she doing it again? Is she doing it again? Oh, we just got breaking news. Nelly Korda withdraws from the JM Eagle.
Oh,
20 minutes ago.
Boo.
Damn.
Well, she is about to take another month off. She just wants to go chill, fucking enjoy her $2.5 million, and then she'll come back middle of May and just start winning again.
Yeah. It's,
what if she only schedules things she thinks she can win? Like she just picks out like another five or six events this year and just wins all of them.
So
maybe for her at this point, it's just about her winning rate.
Let's see if she says she didn't indicate when she'll compete next. The next tournament's in New Jersey, May 9th through 12th after this.
Where
the
is
next
it?
Major, the Cognizant Founders Cup in New Jersey. Doesn't say the course. And then the next women's major is the U.S. Women's Open in Pennsylvania, late May. So she'll definitely be back for that one, but she may be taking a good part of May off.
What course is it in Pennsylvania?
Do they have that listed? No, they do not have that listed either.
God, why is the Wi-Fi so ass? I'm trying to pull this up. Upper Montclair Country Club. That's pretty darn close to Morristown.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you have to take a jaunt down to the U.S. Women's Open.
Oh, shit. No, well, I'm looking up May 9th through 12th. I won't be there, though.
Oh, that, yeah.
But when the U.S. Women's Open, let's look that up real quick. Because I would honestly enjoy going. It was at, I think they just played it last year at, Baltusrol. Which is like 10 minutes from Morristown.
Really?
Yeah. I was not there at the time, and I told my girlfriend to go, and she said no.
She said, I'm out. The other kind of crazy comparison is as dominant as these two have been, now Scotty gets a little more shine just golf-wise because two of those were actually, I mean, the Players is like the quote-unquote fifth major in the PGA Tour, and then he's won a couple of elevated events, signature series events. Excuse me. I'm not going to be able to get that until they change it again. But the they both just won their second major as well.
Okay.
Which is, when you look at the overall cycle of a golfer in general and the overall career of a golfer, kind of base it on majors. That's how it's based.
Yeah.
But the run that they're on just in general tournaments right now is both a not since Tiger type of scenario. And there's so many people comparing them to, there's people asking, is Scottie Scheffler the best golfer since Tiger? And that is hard to quantify for me because Rahm has been on some runs. We see players get on runs all the time. Rahm,
Spieth's
been on some runs.
Yeah.
Spieth's been on some runs. But this stretch of these last 6 weeks is as close to Tiger-esque as we're ever going to get.
Yeah.
Probably again.
Yeah.
Until Miles Russell.
I was going to say, we got to talk about Miles Russell. Real quick, the one thing I just want to say is there's been a lot of world rankings discussions out, you know, ever since LIV came around. I think the biggest indictment to date on the world ranking system is that Rory McIlroy is somehow number two in the world right now.
Yeah, well, so...
In what world is he the second best player in the world? I guess this world, but just from a logical standpoint, Rory McIlroy should not be number two in the world golf rankings. Like, how's Wyndham Clark not two? He's got to be three or four at this point. But Rory's had... Nelly Korda's made more money. Ted Scott's made more money than him on the PGA Tour this season. Scottie Scheffler's caddy, if you're unfamiliar.
Yeah,
he's number two in the fucking world.
I saw a tweet today, and I meant to save it. I'll paraphrase as best I can. But I think the distance between in points or however that's working between Rory McIlroy and 78th is less than the distance between Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy.
Yes, like Scottie is far and away number one in the world. But let's talk about a potential future number one in the world, Miles Russell, 15-year-old. It sets a record for lowest finish in a Korn Ferry Tour event, I think, before 16. I think he broke, I just saw an article, it was like three Google searches ago. But you know what's crazy to me? And we can talk about, I mean, he obviously went crazy. He's T20 for a 15-year-old, but he signed an NIL deal. So like he's already making dollars and he's in high school. Like, I didn't really think that NIL translated to high. I thought it was just a college thing, but does this like legalize it for high schoolers? High schoolers can make, like, is he going to roll up to high school events wearing fucking sponsored shit?
Probably.
That's insane.
He's like, coach, that fucking Gildan shirt you got me that matches the team. Well, can you imagine
that Grand Slam shirt?
So we've kind of already had this career arc once on with Nick Dunlap this year.
Yeah.
Can you imagine this kid rolling back to his high school?
Like going to high school practice and the kid, he's got the kid over there shooting 110. Like, yeah, it's wild. I wonder if he's going to put the whole team on his back and be like, hey, I'm going to hook all these dudes up because he's a TaylorMade guy too. He's already sponsored by TaylorMade.
Oh, that whole team's getting the setup.
Yeah, exactly. Like what is he going to do for his team?
Anyone out there, guy? If you're listening and you're on Miles Russell's high school team, hit your wagon now, boys.
Yeah.
Because this is insane. So he finished 68, 66, 70, 66, three rounds in the 60s on a Korn Ferry Tour event, 15 years old. He's getting an exemption into next week's event because he finished the top 25. Can you imagine like the 40-year-old dudes grinding their ass off out there and get like 26? Then you see this kid. They probably got kids older. Some of the guys on the Korn Ferry Tour probably got kids older than him.
Yeah.
And he's whooping their ass around a golf course. This is kind of a little things Miles Russell is not alive for. Shout out Kyle Porter, CBS. Kind of a lame list, but
more than that. Yeah, it is a weird list.
He was not alive for 14 of Tiger's 15 majors. He was not alive for Trevor Immelman's Masters victory. So
who gives a shit?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. He's probably Trevor Immelman's friend.
Rory McIlroy had to drop that. Trevor Immelman's like, shout out. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy's amateur career. Once again, no one really cares.
As good as his pro career.
A world without WhatsApp, Iron Man, or a Super Bowl-less Peyton Manning.
What's Iron Man?
Like the movies.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like the workout. Is there like an Iron Man workout? Oh, yeah, you do those, don't you? Oh, okay, never mind.
You can't compete in an Ironman and not wear the shirt every time you work out after it.
Yeah, it's just so and cool. Don't you have to get a sticker for your car? You have to have a sticker on your car.
Yeah, like, with the year.
Yeah.
And the date. And then when Barack Obama was elected president for the first time, he was 3 days old.
Holy shit. That is, yeah, that is actually a pretty good stat. That's insane. Like, I just feel old now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I can't even quantify this.
Yeah.
Because when you see him out there, I don't know.
He legit looks like a little, I looked at his Instagram. He, less than 3 years ago, he looks like a little kid. Like a tiny, and that's hard to quantify too, but just go look at his Instagram, Miles Russell Golf, probably. I would assume it's just Miles Russell Golf. He looks like, he is a child. Like, and he would whoop my ass up one side, down the other. So anybody that says golf, I mean, golf, the barrier to entry is hard and everything, but you can't complain about like anything when there's this 15-year-old out here doing what he's doing. Already, everyone's like, oh, it's so tough to get on the, and it is, it's very fucking hard, but that's how good these guys are now. Like a 15-year-old doing this stuff. And it just kind of makes me wonder, because we've heard about, where are they now type things. Like in 5 years, are we even going to know who the hell Miles Russell is? And he's only going to be 20. Like he's still gonna have a whole career in front of him, but it's so hard when you peak this early and are already in the news, and it's just a lot of expectation to live up to.
He's got to be getting a PGA Tour exemption here soon. Has to be.
A 15-year-old, bro? I mean, I
think of a low-rate PGA Tour event and wanting some coverage.
Oh, shout out. We didn't really talk about Billy Horschel, but you should have played in the fucking Corrales.
Yeah, exactly.
We only have a certain amount of time left. Yeah,
but let's show this sick. This is what a what's the word I'm looking for?
A one-off opposite field
tour event looks like. The best part is, tell me you want an oppo field event without telling me. Shout out to Case of the Golf. A shirt they stole from their service staff and a hat from their gift shop. I love everything about it. Good for Billy Horschel, though. Kind of one of those, was a top-rate tour player.
Kind of surprising that he wasn't in the RB. Like, I'm sure he's right on the edge of being back in the, in that top signature event field. And this will probably help him. I mean, it is crazy, but for guys like this, you're better off going and winning this event than you are finishing 30th or 40th at the RBC, you know? I mean, he made over $1 million. He's got another PGA Tour win under his belt. But yeah, Billy Ho, I mean, dude, it was just a couple years ago he won the Dell Match Play, which was a quote-unquote signature with the best 64 players in the world. So he isn't far off from being a very elite player. But just don't watch him putt, because it's like one of the most painful things. You need to take what helps you relax? I'm not or helps calm Coors down Light. Your anxiety. Coors Light. God damn, I can't even remember what the name is, but you need to take pills to watch Billy Horschel putt.
Yeah, it's because
he just
out.
Fidgets like crazy. His feet are moving around. Maybe he needs to take some drugs. Maybe he needs to try calming down just a hair.
Yeah, it's not fun to watch. It was funny because they were talking about Wes Bryan. So shout out to Wes Bryan, got second place in this event.
YouTube golfer.
And there was a tweet that was like, Wes Bryan, blah, 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 the second lowest cumulative score ever shot at this tournament. And I was like, no fucking shit, he lost. Let's talk about the guy that shot the low. So Billy Horschel, once again, shout out to him. He shot the lowest score ever at the Corrales Punta Cana Open Invitational, whatever it's called. All right, let's wrap this pod up with our favorite segment, a little Monday edition of Mulligan of the Week. Mulligan of the Week is where we talk about something that happened to us in the past week. Wish we could take a mulligan on it, go back, do something different because it wasn't working out for us. Do you want to start out with your Mulligan of the Week?
Yes. Real quick, I just wanted to mention Wesley Bryan. I saw one of his tweets, and it's just he's so into the YouTube game now that he talks like one of them. So he tweets, thanks y'all for the support this week, smiley face. Much love, heart emoji. Second place is still pretty neat, laughing face. Congrats, Billy Ho Golf. Heck of a 63 today, wind emojis. And then
big emoji guy. He's definitely in the
social
media. And
then his last tweet was, what a week, with a peace sign and then a YouTube link. So he is he's fully capitalizing on his name being in the limelight.
Yeah, well,
good on him.
Somebody did say that he'll get more sponsors exemptions because of how much of that. YouTube golf and actual golf are two different worlds.
He's a mixture of the two.
Right. And now he's bringing the two worlds together.
He's a one of one niche.
He's got the people that only watch YouTube golf watching PGA or Korn Ferry or PGA Tour or whatever. Whatever he's playing in events, essentially.
Totally.
So he's bringing in the crowds he's bringing in visually are huge.
Yeah, that's like one of those charts where the circles overlap. You know, like a graph.
A Venn diagram.
He, like, legit PGA Tour golf, YouTube golf, he's in the middle.
He is the middle.
Yeah, he's the only one in the middle.
Yep.
Okay, my Mulligan of the Week, I missed the same step that you did trying to get in your back door.
It's hard.
In your back door of your house. But Spencer last week missed a big step. I laughed my asshole off. Luckily, I didn't eat shit, but I definitely, you know, when you, and it was dark as fuck over there too. So I kind of have an excuse. You were carrying bags of mulch. So we were both at a disadvantage. I actually think I was sober also, which is because there's been nights where I've gotten in that back door pretty hammered. I don't like, and there's so much shit to run into. There's trees, the grill's standing right there. Like I could seriously injure myself. And then I choose the night where I just am completely sober to miss a step and almost fucking tear my whatever is in your knee, like a meniscus, ACL, you name it. I almost did that. And you know, like that feeling when you miss a step and it's just that quarter second of full-blown panic where you feel like you're in free fall, because that's where I was.
Dude, I feel like every time I seriously hurt myself, it's like a blackout. It's like you see injuries all the time in sports and this and that, so you know they're going through it because you're not. You just see it in slow-mo or whatever they show on the replay. But like when I stabbed my hand with a knife, I was like, what just happened? Like, and then there's a fucking hole in my hand.
Dude, I also actually last night too, I was bartending. And I was walking through the kitchen late at night and they had just mopped the kitchen floor. I almost went fucking ass over tea kettle, feet out from under me. And legitimately, before I'd even recovered, I immediately pictured in my mind like my head hitting the ground, and like it just makes you shudder thinking about it.
Oh, 100%. My mulligan of the week, this actually happened a little bit ago, but I've had it kind of chambered.
Your outfit?
No, this is great. I think this jacket.
I'm just kidding. You look great.
This jacket's fire. I like this jacket. It's too big though. I got an XL and it's just like, I could fit two of me in here.
Might fit me.
But I'm bringing my own lunch. I'm doing a really good job bringing my own lunch most days.
Yeah. You're fucking honey smoked salmon that costs more than
shit's fire.
The GDP of some Middle Eastern countries.
Yes, that's very true. But so I was going to make a BLT at work because BLT slap. No.
Bro, you already told us the story. You forgot the bacon.
No.
You've done this before.
I did this already.
Yes.
You positive?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well,
forgot the bacon.
No, I forgot the tomato.
Oh, okay. Well,
No.
You've done it.
Okay,
you forgot the bread one time. I think you've forgotten all elements of the BLT.
Yes.
You need to write down a recipe for a BLT. Because there's about five things.
No, I can
just check a list time you fucking
just
plan
in case
on making
you
a
guys
BLT.
Are fucking crazy. I brought the tomato. I went and bought the tomato, but I didn't bring the whole rest of the lunch. So I just had tomato. Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're going to the next one. I have a problem of running red lights, but I don't think I have this problem.
Well, you drive so fucking slow because it's not a parking lot.
Fuck off.
So you're just wandering through a red light 10 seconds after everybody and hoping. Yeah.
So like a week ago, Kylie was giving me shit about running red lights. I was like, just this is fine, whatever. Then like 2 days later, I get a fucking thing in the mail.
Oh,
my picture, ticket, red light ran. Is
how
this
close
you?
Is
and
your,
I'm like,
how close is your phone to your face in the picture?
It wasn't. I was focused on running the red light. I know when to get on my phone and not. But I think I have an issue with these because I don't know the exact rule. To me, if your car is at least partially past like the crosswalk and in the intersection, the light's still yellow, that should be safe. Apparently your car has to be all the way through the intersection before it turns red, running a yellow light in order to not get a ticket.
Did you know, quick fun fact, that if you get a ticket from a camera, a lot of times you don't have to pay it.
I know. She told me this, but that I don't want to warrant out for my arrest for some stupid shit.
It's because it's not from the city. It's like a suggestion.
Yeah, they can't prove it's you. So you can literally say that that's not me driving, and there's no way for that. I mean, maybe you, because you stroll through red lights. It's a clear picture, but
they took like 8 snapshots of you. They're like, how is he still in the same place 10 photos later?
But literally, I've gotten out of every camera ticket ever. I just call and say, that's not me. And they can't, like, actually...
They don't want to fight it for... it's basically just... That shit is...
Yeah, like...
Stealing.
Literally, 9 News did a whole story on how to get out of it. So, I mean, it's not
well, I paid it, so...
Oh, okay.
Take my money. Take my money. I don't want to warrant out. I don't need
L7
that.
L7 weenie.
I don't need that over my head.
Okay. Marissa?
Mine's not as exciting as Spencer's, obviously.
That's okay.
So you guys know I'm really sarcastic, and I tend to impulsively say things at this office without thinking. Sometimes it goes too far.
No.
Sometimes.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, I was at the gym, and I don't ever talk at the gym. I just usually do my own thing and don't say anything. But there was this girl that was trying to rack her weights, and I don't know why I decided that I was going to make the decision to talk to this woman. And I was like, are you going to hurry it up, or am I going to just be old over here? She literally teared up. She started panicking. She was like shaking and like trying to put the weights back. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she like was about to cry. And I just felt really bad about it.
Oh, wow.
Damn, you're that girl that like you would hate.
You shame people like, at the gym.
I just like.
Is it because you're just so fit and you're just so above everybody else? You just. You're on your high ground.
The little guy.
I look like a grandma when I go to the gym.
You see my fat ass on an elliptical and you're just like, fuck you, dude.
Are you done yet?
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. This place isn't for you. I just cry onto my stomach.
I'm quiet and I don't bug anybody.
Okay. Well, sounds like you can't say that anymore.
Although one time I did go to the gym when you were at the gym and I knew it was you. And I made eye contact with you multiple times, but then just didn't acknowledge you.
Oh, yeah. I know. I saw you and I didn't say anything because that's how much I stay to myself. I legit don't say a fucking word to anybody.
Yeah. You were on the bike for a while. No, the elliptical.
The elliptical is my jam. Low impact. Can't get hurt. walking in the elliptical are my speed. That's how you know you're old.
I was on a work call on the bike the other day, and I started like ramping it up a little bit, and then I had to talk, and I was like, all right, I got to
do it. I think you're doing something else.
Yeah, and there's music and whatever.
Bad luck.
All right, we'll be back on Wednesday to preview the Zurich Classic.
One of my favorite tournaments of the year.
Such a good one. Team event.
Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick winning it this year.
Good tweet about it. It was like the ultimate flex would be Scottie Scheffler showing up to this event and winning it by himself. He could probably do it.
If he hit two shots, 100%.
Oh yeah, well that
boat race everybody.
Yeah,
but yeah. That would
even
be
one
fair.
Shot. I bet it'd be a close.
The alternate shot, he'd be so dialed. Yeah, he'd beat everybody.
100%. All right. Have a great Monday night. Go Nuggets. Go Avs. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Peace.